It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
This is Davin's Den.
All right, everybody, we are back. Thank you guys for spending your evening or afternoon with us. We'll start it off with some School of Fools. This was the subject of Joe's blog. He had a very strong opinion on it. It's about a gun. If you want to see what the gun looks like, you can go to the Joe's blog on the davincomedy.com page. You can see what the hell we are talking about.
This is the toy gun, a green and black zombie hunter with an orange tip that led to Isaiah Elliott's 5-day suspension. The 12-year-old has a collection of toy guns, but his parents never thought he'd be suspended because of a toy that never left his house.
He's in the comfort of his own home, and for the school to expect for there not to be any type of toys or anything around someone's home is just pretty ridiculous.
Dad Curtis Elliott is furious, and so is his wife, Danny Elliott.
For them to go as extreme as suspending him for 5 days, sending the police out, having the police threaten to press charges against him because they want to compare the virtual environment to the actual in-school environment is insane.
What a teacher at Grand Mountain School near Colorado Springs noticed in a virtual class prompted the principal to call El Paso sheriff deputies. The problem solvers obtained the sheriff report, and it confirms the teacher said she assumed it was a toy gun, but was not certain.
If her main concern was his safety, a 2-minute phone call to me or my husband could have easily alleviated this whole situation to where I told them it was fake.
Neither parents knew the school was recording their son's virtual class, but now said the district refuses to provide the video.
This is the toy gun that he was playing with.
Deputies did show the video to Curtis, and he showed us exactly what he saw.
He was playing with the toy gun on this side of the couch. He picked it up, moved it like that to the other side of the couch. It just flashed across the school computer screen for maybe 1 or 2 seconds at the most.
It would have been a lot easier for me to understand if my son had made a threat.
Now they say their son has been traumatized by deputies telling their 12-year-old this could potentially lead to criminal charges in the future.
He was in tears when the cops came. He was just in tears and he was scared.
The Whitefield District Number 3 refused an interview request from the problem solvers, instead emailing a statement that reads in part, "We follow all school board policies, whether we are in-person learning or distance learning. We take the safety of all of our students and staff very seriously. Safety is always our number one priority." But Isaiah's parents say safety was never a true issue, and suspending their son, who has been diagnosed with ADHD, helps no one.
I definitely feel as if they crossed the line and they were extreme with their punishment, especially sending the police out and traumatizing my son and my family.
Now this afternoon, the parents tell me they're transferring Isaiah to a new school. The district says it won't be recording classes without parents' permission from now on. Tonight at 9, investigative reporter Laura Jane Gleeha will share the story of an 11-year-old boy in Jefferson County, also suspended 5 days for a toy gun seen during his virtual classroom. She'll talk with the vice chair of the state school board, who has concerns with how the district reacted.
The gun is a lime green gun that says a zombie hunter on it. So is Joe's blog. So I'll ask Joe, how should the teacher have responded to this, Joe?
The teacher should have responded. She overreacted because basically the kid, they were doing online learning, and the kid just moved the toy gun from one spot to another. The teacher saw that, and I feel she overreacted. Now, if the argument could be made, well, she should have said something, and she was right to notify the principal. The principal should have, in turn, notified the parents before she notified the police. And there should have been a conference or a discussion between the teacher, the principal, and the parents. To exacerbate the situation, they notified the police, but the police did not notify the parents until they were en route to the house. Now these parents are caught off guard. Now they show up, and it was a traumatic situation. You know, the police over interviewing the child and the kid and the parents over this situation. I think that whoever the principal should be reprimanded, and I also feel whoever made the decision to send the police there, not calling the parents first, but sending the police there at the police department should be reprimanded as well.
Or the teacher could have just asked the child to put the gun down. Or, you know, put your toy away.
From what the story was saying, he wasn't displaying it. He was moving it.
Like, that's what I did while you were talking on the Zoom. Let's pretend the microphone is the gun. It was essentially this. I am moving it.
Exactly. So if you saw that for a moment, it wasn't a threatening thing. He did not display it. He did not make it in a threatening manner. And like I said, if the teacher did, for any reason, you know, felt she should talk to the principal should have called the parents in the first place if he felt that that was enough of a concern. But the principal did not. He called the police directly. And it further, you know, further got exacerbated because the police went over there without contacting the parents. It was a knee-jerk reaction. You know, and a little common sense was used on that. The debate could be made, well, if there was a gun and it was just a second, you know, it needs to be looked. All right, fine. But the way you handled it was wrong.
Not only did the teacher and the principal overreact, the police overreacted. They tell this 12-year-old that, you know, he does this again, we might have to press charges. Does what? Moves his toy? He's a 12. Why would you say that to a 12-year-old? Why would you scare a 12-year-old boy? This does not help kids feel comfortable with police as they get older when you threaten them over nonsense. Very easily go, all right, we were called for this. Clearly this is a toy. Listen. I know you're at home. When you're in school, you can't be displaying your toys. We don't want to get called for this. You don't want us to get called for this. Let's not have this happen anymore. Not, yo, you do this again, we might have to press charges. For what? Moving a toy in your house? Is that a crime now? That's less of a crime than Joe driving in an empty parking lot, which we discussed last week. What the fuck is wrong with these cops? For Christ's sakes, a little common sense. You got a moronic teacher, a moronic principal, and moronic police. You traumatize a little boy. You got the parents all worked up. Where the fuck are we? What is wrong with us?
See, now, if he was brandishing it, like if he was pointing it at the camera and saying, you know, something to his classmates, then I might have a problem with it.
That's a different story.
But it doesn't.
That's a different story. He moved his toy. See, listen, they say they want to treat the virtual classroom like a real classroom. Nay, nay. I mean, yes, you want decorum, but you got to understand, a lot of these kids are going virtually online in the living room, in their room. You know what they have in their room, in the living room? You know what kids have? Fucking toys. You know what little boys like to play with? Fucking guns. You know what they like to kill? Zombies. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a Nerf gun. It's ridiculous. We had toy, did you have toy guns, Joe?
Yeah.
So did I. Can you imagine? I might have even took it to school. I don't know. I don't remember. It was a different time. I'm not saying this kid should take it to school. But he's moving it. He's not brandishing it. It says zombie hunter. Is this Colorado teacher think the zombies are coming? Is she pro-zombie? Is that what we have here? A teacher that do zombie lives matter? Is that where we are? ZLM?
Would you entertain?
No, I won't entertain anything. I'm not even entertaining right now.
Well, your audience feel the same way.
Exactly.
But would you entertain the fact that basically, and we've discussed this on stories that we've had previously on the show, that the zero tolerance policies might be the result of this, where the woman saw it and had a zero tolerance thing to that. The police were called. He had a zero tolerance to that. The police show up. He had a zero tolerance to the situation.
Zero tolerance is for black and white. You know who likes black and white? Morons. People who can't spell. The world is full of nuance and gray. Do you? I'm not even saying you couldn't call the parents. I'm not even saying you couldn't alert the principal if you had to. If you had to. Listen, we're a little concerned. We don't think he was doing anything dangerous. We saw the gun for a flash of a second. Is there a gun in the home? Was this a real gun? Oh, no, this was a toy gun. Listen, because of the policies going on, because of all the school shootings, because of the zombie outbreak we have here in Colorado, can you please make sure that he does not have his toy gun when we do the virtual learning? Because if it happens again, we're going to have to do something, but we want to make you aware, and this is the situation we're dealing with. That's how you handle it. They suspend this kid for 5 days? For 5 days for moving his toy?
For what? I'm sorry, I'm glad you brought that up, because we were discussing the other details. They suspended him for 5 days. They should rescind the suspension.
Well, they don't have to worry about it. The kid's so traumatized, he's transferring schools.
Yeah. Great job.
So now what you've done is, this kid is now the kid who had to transfer schools, and he's afraid of the police. Great job, community. Great fucking job. Bravo. And I'll tell you one thing. When there's zombies coming, he's not going to protect your ass. You're going to get eaten by a zombie. I hope you're happy now.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I don't know. I do not know why the principal was reprimanded. Because basically the teacher calls. He's got to make a...
You mean why the boy was reprimanded? You said the principal.
I'm sorry?
You mean why the boy was reprimanded. You said the principal.
I don't know why the boy was reprimanded.
Right, okay.
But I don't know why the principal wasn't reprimanded.
Oh, was not. Was not. Yeah, well, then you got to get the superintendent.
Was not. He should have been reprimanded on that because he handled it wrong. And suspending the kid... I mean, and also, another thing is, he was home. He was home and just moved the thing to the other side of his screen. He didn't make a threatening move. He wasn't in school. So it was a stupid move, and the school board should have suspended him for handling the situation horribly.
I'll tell you something else that troubled me about this story, and I don't know if it's happening in my kid's school, but they're recording the virtual classrooms. I don't know if I want them recording the inside of my daughter's bedroom. That's kind of creepy. I'm not saying anything could happen, but you don't want that getting into the wrong hands. I understand why they are recording it, I guess, for instances like this, but you're not recording regular classrooms. You know, there's not cameras in the real classrooms, so I don't know why you would have to record the virtual classroom. I don't think I like that.
Yeah. You know, even the way people are, I have a buddy of mine who posted Facebook, and he was out on a boat. And there was a guy at, you know, driving the boat and was drinking a beer. And I'm like, wow. I go, gee whiz. I go, I wonder if he knew that. Because if there was some goody two-shoe asshole out there, he could have got this guy in trouble, you know? So it's just amazing what people look at and judge and stuff like that. And I don't know. A lot of times with schools, I don't see common sense being used. I mean, that's why we have a segment called School of Fools.
Glad you worked that out, Joe. Glad I didn't have to intervene.
Well, the other thing about the recording of the whole event is that just makes the stupidity that followed even worse. Because if they had an issue where they thought it was a real gun, go to the videotape, stupid.
Yeah.
You have a lot of green Glocks in your neighborhood.
Well, and the police report even said the teacher didn't think it was a gun. But you know what? Then call the principal. Tell the principal what's going on, and the principal will go, all right, we need to call the parents and find out what's going on. That's all you
Thank
do.
Thank you. That's all that had to be done.
And then once the parents say, no, this is a toy gun, then you have the conversation with the parents and maybe the student go, listen, I understand you're learning at home. I understand it's a toy, but we have no policy with guns or toy guns. I really need you to make sure the gun stays off screen. I need you to, otherwise we're going to be left no choice. You give them a warning, you explain the situation, and I'm sure these parents, they were interviewed, they seemed very reasonable. They would have been, okay, we understand. He can't, and he had quite the arsenal, this kid.
Here's what I think. I think that the teacher, the principal, and the cops are zombies. And then
deep state.
You ever think of that?
Not well, now. I have.
You know me with a story. I look at all angles. I think they're zombies. They got to nip that shit in the bud. They don't.
You know what, Joe? This is some deep state shit. We here at Xenon believe that Colorado has been infested with zombies. I think you're absolutely right. I think. Wait a minute. Didn't we actually fucking do something like this for Amaru? Weren't we like that fucking show where everything had been taken over and we had to like blow the conspiracy theory? Life imitates art.
My yeah. God, it's true.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, Joe. It's zombies. That's probably the most. Obviously, they didn't have brains, so you're.
That's the only thing we could think of.
Your explanation is the most logical explanation. All right.
Yeah.
So now that we got along, we probably won't. So let me set the stage for this. We might. I don't know. I never know. All right. So Donald Trump had a rally this weekend in Henderson, Nevada, which is right outside Las Vegas. Inside, 5,000 people, everybody's packed in, no social distancing, masks were provided, but not enforced. Very few people wore masks. However, if you were standing behind Donald Trump, which is close to the president, and also where the cameras were, once Trump hit the stage, or right before Trump hit the stage, you had to wear masks. So when the opening ups were, when the opening acts were up there, you could breathe all your fucking COVID breath all you want. When nobody's filming this shit, no masks. But when the cameras are on and Donald Trump is up there, they were instructed they had to wear their mask or they would be kicked out. That's the only place where masks were mandated. So this happened. Now, Nevada has a policy of gatherings of no more than 50 people. And, you know, I'll play a bunch of audio for it. No more than 50 people. This was 5,000 people. This was inside. So this was breaking Nevada law. Now, so that's what happened this weekend. So now I want to go back to February and play some of the Bob Woodward, Donald Trump recordings. So Bob Woodward is doing a book. I think it's coming out this week. And Donald Trump was interviewed 19 times. Not only was Donald Trump interviewed 19 times, Donald Trump called Bob Woodward more than Joe calls me. Donald Trump would call Bob Woodward. And Donald Trump is known for, like, just calling people, usually his friends or whatever, but he's known for calling people. Hannity.
He's called the house. He's talked about it.
Also, listen, I'd be happy if he spoke to you. It would be a step in the right direction. Trust me. But so he called Bob Woodward. So now, of course, he's trying to, you know, it's a hoax and slamming, blah, blah, blah. He called Bob Woodward. He didn't have to be interviewed. He decided to be interviewed. Not only that, he decided to call. And I'm sure Bob Woodward let him know he was recording it. So in the past, now all these books have come out about Donald Trump. You know, people leave the administration or his family. All these books come out. And the standard thing is, it's a hoax. It's not true. It's a lie. It's a hit job. And there is never audio recordings of it. Now there's audio recordings.
Can I interrupt you for one second?
Sure.
You just said that I'm sure that, you know, Trump knew that, would, you know, that it was, like, on the record. Would you ever say anything and think it was off the record with Woodward, the guy that one of the two that broke the Watergate scandal?
Yeah, but
would you ever think you were speaking off the record?
No, but here's what you need to understand about Donald Trump, and you know, his aides were concerned about this. What you need to understand about Donald Trump is he's very narcissistic. We all know this. Nobody's going to argue about that. None of the three of us are going to argue about that. Donald Trump feels he can change anybody's opinion. Donald Trump feels he is so charming. So while Donald Trump's aides were like, nay, nay, you really shouldn't talk to this guy. It's not going to be good. Donald Trump's like, nah, I got this. I'm the Trumpster, baby. I got this. Yeah. It's all, and you can actually hear it in the conversations, him trying to spin Bob Woodward. So we're going to play some of these. I'll play a clip, then we'll discuss. Now, what you also have to understand what was going on in America at that time, and what he was saying to the public. A lot of the time what was being said to the public was the direct opposite of what he was saying to Bob Woodward. And I will tell you, in the past 4 years since Donald Trump has burst onto the scene, he's never seen more intelligent, more with it, more cognizant of what is going on than he does with these Bob Woodward tapes. Now, listen, and then the Trumpsters will go, yeah, but Joe Biden. Forget about Joe Biden. Forget about Joe Biden for the purpose of this. Even if you love Donald Trump, Donald Trump will get a script, and he can't fucking read from a teleprompter. A teleprompter Trump is very boring. What's worse, unless you're in the audience, for his policy, is when he goes off script. Then it's improv Trump, and we know the shtick and whatever. People like it, people hate it. This is neither of those. This is Donald Trump having very intelligent conversations with another very intelligent human being. Would we all agree? Have you heard the tape show?
Briefly.
Okay, so some of this might be the first time for you. Have you heard these, Pip?
No, I just heard the one where he was specifically talking about COVID.
Well, there's a bunch of those. There's a bunch of that. And that's the only stuff I'm playing tonight. There's other stuff about the generals and the stuff. Not doing that stuff. We're just talking about COVID. So the first one I'm going to play is from February 7th, and then I think it's a little bit later on, too. Now, on February 7th, you have to remember, in this country, nobody was really taking COVID-19 seriously. We didn't really know what it was. We still had about another month before everything was locked down. Joe and I were still out and about doing comedy shows, glad-handing, not worrying about sharing microphones. It was still kind of someplace else. It was coming here, maybe, but the president was telling us, we got it under control, it's going to disappear, it's not a big deal. He was going to rallies and saying it was a Democratic hoax. Not that the virus was a hoax, but that the Democrats were blowing it out of proportion to use against him. This was right on the heels of impeachment not working out, although we knew it wasn't going to work. We knew that wasn't work because it's so politicized. But it was right on the heels of impeachment, right on the heels of Russia, right on the heels of everything. So Donald Trump is out campaigning, and he's talking to his people and everything. He's firing them up. So he's telling the people it's a hoax, it's not real. He's telling us it's no big deal, it's going to disappear, it's one person, it's 15 people. What he told Bob Woodward is something completely different. And before I go on, around this time, later on, Joe and I would have many arguments. Well, Donald Trump didn't know. Nobody knew. Nobody, that was what Joe would say. He didn't know, and I would say, but Joe, he should know. It was in other countries. He should know. So that was a conversation Joe and I had for many months. This might indicate otherwise.
So what was President Xi saying yesterday?
Well, we were talking mostly about the virus, and I think he's going to have it in good shape. But you know, it's a very tricky situation. It goes through air, Bob. That's always tougher than the touch. You know, the touch, you don't have to touch things, right? But the air, you just breathe the air. That's how it's passed. And so that's a very tricky one. That's a very delicate one. It's also more deadly than your strenuous flus. You know, people don't realize we lose 25,000, 30,000 people a year here. Who would ever think that, right?
I know. It's
pretty amazing. And then I say, well, is that the same thing? This is more deadly. This is 5 per, you know, this is 5% versus 1% and less than 1%. You know, so this is deadly stuff. Now it's turning out it's not just old people, Bob, but just today and yesterday. Some startling facts came out. It's not just older young people, to plenty of young people.
So give me a moment of talking to somebody, going through this with Fauci or somebody who kind of it caused a pivot in your mind, because it's clear just from what's on the public record that you went through a pivot on this to, oh my God, the gravity is almost inexplicable and unexplainable.
Well, I think, Bob, really, to be honest with you...
Sure, I want you to.
I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
All right, the last thing there is he said he didn't want to create a panic, which we can touch on. But February 7th, way before any of us knew what this was, Donald Trump knew. He said it. This is more dangerous than the flu. Now, Joe and I, and I'm sure a lot of people out there listening, know people that to this day still say, nah, this is just the flu. Fortunately, Joe has never been in that camp, and we've given Joe credit many times because Joe talked to healthcare workers who were dealing, you know, when New York was being crushed with this, and they would tell Joe, no, this is unlike any flu. This is unlike anything we've ever seen. But to a lot of the Trump supporters, this is a flu, this is blown out of proportion, That's what Donald Trump was telling us. That's what Donald Trump has been telling us. He tells us, you know, oh, it's a flu, it's not a big deal. He knew in February that this was a big deal. This would have been the time. He says he doesn't want to panic people. You can tell people what's going on without panicking. If I'm Donald Trump, this is what I do. February, listen. We got about 3 weeks, by our estimates, until this really comes here. This is what I need you to do. I have the best doctors in the world with me. The best doctors in the world are with me. This is what they're telling me. This is what the science says. We need to get masks. Right now, it's just for first responders. It's not that bad right now. We're going to crank out production of the PPE. We're going to get the ventilators. We're going to be prepared. We're going to get through this. We're Americans. We get through everything. We got to all stick together. This is what I, your president, and the scientists are telling me. It's going to be fine, but this is not something we want to mess around with. We still have a little bit more time to get ahead of it. And he did have time. He did have time to get ahead of it. And at that point, as Donald Trump still had a shred of credibility. Donald Trump had credibility with COVID-19 at that point, if he would have come out with that. Figure he learned. Now, there's some reports that he learned at the end of last year what was going on. But let's devil's advocate. He knew end of January sometime how bad this was. He didn't do anything to protect us. And he continuously lied to us. Lied to us. Me and Joe had wasted hours going, oh, well, he didn't know. And, you know, I said he should know. And Joe said, how could he know? It's 100 years. We've never seen anything like this. He's telling us he knew. You've never heard Donald Trump sound more on point about anything than that. I mean, that guy I would fucking vote for. That guy sounds like he's got a handle on the situation. That guy seems like, you know, he's ready to do things. That's a guy I would trust.
I think it would have put us in a state of panic.
But no other country was panicked. No, every other the countries that have done well with this, they told the people what was going on. They told the people what they had to do, and they've handled it much better. Why would we panic? Remember 9/11? There's been nothing scarier than living where we live during 9/11. I lived right across the river, right, just a few miles from where the towers were. I heard the F-16s. I think they were F-16s. I heard them flying over. I lived by Teterboro Airport. It's a different sound hearing a little Teterboro Airport plane than hearing the fighters. That was the only time I ever went to sleep in this country scared, that night on September 11th. That being said, we did not panic. We did not panic. Giuliani rallied us. W rallied us. The Senate came together. The Congress, our leaders came together and said, this is what has happened. We are going to get through this. We're not a bunch of pussies. I understand we like to cast aspersions on each other and everything. Americans are tough. You have to tell us the truth. You tell us the truth, we'll get through it. When we got attacked in Pearl Harbor, they didn't hide that from us. No, we got fucking attacked, and we're going to get those Japanese. When Roosevelt finally decided that we were going into Nazi Germany, he didn't fucking lie to us. He said, this is what we're fighting. This is evil. We need everybody to get in the factories. Our men are going off to war. The women are going to the factories. We are Americans. We're going to get through this. That's why Roosevelt had the fireside chats. Donald Trump could have done all of that. Could have done all that. And there'd be thousands, tens of thousands more people alive. And he'd be, our economy would be better. And he would be... It wouldn't even be a contest. We'd be discussing, I wonder what Trump's second term's going to look like. That's what it would be. Joe who? Where's Joe? It doesn't matter where Joe Biden is. You can wear all the pussy hats in the world. As I've said from time and time again, if Trump would have done this properly, we wouldn't be here. And he knew. He made a decision to lie to us. And not only did he lie, he didn't take the preparations, and he encouraged us to go out, don't worry about it. I mean, come on.
It was exactly the opposite.
Here's the deal. 9/11 and the bombing of Pearl Harbor was an attack by a definitive enemy. It was instantaneous, and it was clear for everybody to see. We're saying that we're being attacked Everybody knew and saw what happened. The whole COVID thing was something that you did see overseas. You saw in China. He did shut down the airports in China. But a lot of times, people panic over perception. And my belief is it would affect the markets. It would have affected the economy right off the.
The economy's in the shitter. The economy is in the shitter.
But also, you say, well, Trump, you know, he said go out and do this. Well, also did De Blasio, also did Cuomo, also did.
They didn't know, Joe.
Nancy Pelosi.
They didn't know, and I'm not saying they should have. But I'm saying they didn't know. We conjectured whether Trump knew. You and I conjectured, and I'm sure other people did. And I said he should have known, but we didn't have the definitive proof. You know, you being a Trump supporter, you want to believe he didn't know. That was the argument on this show in this time slot for hours. He knew. Now it's just excuses. Not only did he know, he told us the opposite. So now I'm gonna play a clip. This is
Can I just add one more thing?
Yes.
I believe it still would have spread panic. Where sometimes you can't say something into the panic that would ensue.
What other country? But Joe, what country panicked? Canada didn't panic. Israel didn't panic. Japan didn't panic. South Korea didn't panic. Who panicked? Nobody panicked. They did what they had to do. Why would we panic? We don't panic
because of perception.
But you're not telling me why.
Unknown.
But you're telling. But what I'm telling you is these other countries leveled with their citizens, told them what was going on, gave them the information, and they didn't panic, and they handled it properly. They had a much more stringent lockdown. I don't buy this that we would have panicked. We're not a nation of panickers.
Because a lot of countries are not as regimented. Are more regimented than the United States are. A lot of countries, they do, you know, have their states, but we have 50 states. In addition, where I'm talking about perception and panic, let's look at 9/11. Okay, after 9/11 happened, Christy Todd Whitman came out, and who was I think she was in the EPA at the time, or
well, that's what, yeah, when, yeah, when she was working for Bush, that's what she was doing.
Christy Todd Whitman came out and said the air downtown was fine and it was okay. I remember watching that and saying, that's bullshit. How could that be? That's absolute bullshit.
You're right.
Now, think about that and go, what if she said, oh my God, the air is toxic and oh my, you know.
You know what she would have said? You know what would have happened, Joe? We might have more first responders who don't have cancer right now or who are dead right now because instead of just having them work on the pile, maybe we would have done this shit to protect them. That's what would have happened. She was wrong. I'm not going to turn around and go, well, that was right. No, she was wrong.
But it could have been worse with a state of panic.
You know what? But here, no. Yeah.
You know, it's not a perfect world.
But this is what could have been. You know, bad shit's coming. Listen, if I'm piloting the plane, Joe, and I know we're gonna hit the mountain, if I tell you we're gonna hit the mountain, you might panic. But if I tell you, listen, we're gonna hit the mountain, but there's still time to put on your parachute and jump out, you're gonna want me to tell you to put on the parachute. You're not gonna want to smash it.
Even at that time. You know, Fauci and those were inconclusive of a lot of stuff.
Yes!
But still, it was inconclusive. Now, I'll bring up one thing. You mentioned before, everybody needs to wear a mask. And we all have to wear. At that time, at that juncture, wearing a mask was defined as useless.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. It was up in the air. But, and where they made a mistake was, they said, because they wanted it for the first responders, they said, don't wear a mask. Because they didn't want us to, quote unquote, panic. And what I would say is, first of all, you should never lie to the public. Because now we don't believe you. And we're still having that. Still with Fauci, who's been pretty consistent since then, people still point to that. What they should have done is, they should have made sure that all the first responders had it. They should have produced more of it instead of shipping it more to fucking China. And that way we wouldn't have had to worry about it. They shouldn't have lied to us. Every time you lie, it is wrong. You gave an excellent example of Christy Todd Whitman. How stupid does that look now? And the first responders, they had an idea that this shit was bad. I don't remember thinking that. We were so overcome with what just happened to us, we weren't really thinking about air quality. We were thinking, shit, when's this going to happen again? That's what the state of mind was in this region around then. But it was wrong. They did those people dirty, and we got done dirty. I'm not going to go, well, that was right. No, it's fucking wrong. The meteorologist tells you there's a hurricane coming. You might panic, but you still want to know there's a hurricane coming. Let us know. All right, let's move on. So that was February, and a little bit later. This is from April 13th. This is with Bob Woodward. This is a shorter clip.
Bob, it's so easily transmissible, you wouldn't even believe it.
I know. I mean,
you can be in the room. I was in the White House a couple of days ago, a meeting of 10 people in the Oval Office, and a guy sneezed innocently, not a horrible, you know, yes. Just a sneeze. The entire room bailed out, okay, including me, by the way.
This is after he's telling the state, open up the states, open up Michigan. He's attacking these governors. He's saying you got to open up the churches. He wants everybody going to church. We're going to be open by, you know, everything's going to be open by Easter. He knew. We already knew this was bad shit. And he's telling you somebody sneezed and they scattered. He's telling you how bad this is.
Right. Okay. And I see your sense of emotion.
Because I'm pissed.
Sense of urgency on the matter, am I correct?
Well, I mean, now Joe, here's the thing. I'm pissed off. The president has one. The president has many jobs. The most important job a president can have, right, left, whatever, protect Americans. That's the gig. Hell or high water, you get measured by how you protect Americans. Mm-hmm. That's why, in my mind, W will always be a shit president. Not because of how he reacted after 9/11. He was excellent after 9/11. But because he knew what was coming, and we didn't know. The airlines didn't know. The airports didn't know. He knew what was coming. He was warned. That's why, in my mind, W will always be a shit president. Because he didn't warn us. Same thing here. He's actively going against what he knows. At this point in April, he's making fun of people for wearing masks, and he's telling you somebody sneezed and we scattered. I mean, this is not reducing panic anymore. This is fucking malice.
Right. Now, you seem very upset. Oh. You know, you seem very emotional on this. You seem the sense of urgency that you have in your voice.
Okay.
And you're very concerned about this, okay? All right, today is September 15th. The Woodward was told this.
I know where you're going with this.
Was it February, the interview? Why didn't Woodward say anything?
All right.
I
will address that with you. First of all,
I don't care if the Easter Bunny said that. Why wouldn't Woodward say anything?
Okay, hold on. First of all, it's a Trump talking point and a Fox News talking point. That being said, there is merit to that. It is a very valid question. I will tell you what he said. He said, well, I had to make sure all this was right. And once it was right, I knew I had to get the book out there as soon as possible. That's what he said. I'm not saying I buy that. But what I am saying, Pip's not buying it. She's giving the finger. What I am saying, though, I'm not saying Woodward should not have said anything. What I am saying is, let's not hold a fucking reporter to the same standard as the President of the United States. It's the same thing when comics, you and I, get held to a different standard than our politicians. And you know we get held to a lot higher standard than our politicians and entertainers do. Listen, do I think Woodward should have done something? Yeah, probably. Probably. I'm not saying he shouldn't have. But it's different. He's not the president of the United States, and Woodward wasn't openly lying to us. Forget about not telling us. Openly lying, rushing us in to harm's way, causing social discourse for political gain. We covered the story of where you had the armed protesters in Michigan spitting in the face of the police, the militia guys with their guns, open up the state. He encouraged that, and he's telling us he ran out of the room from a sneeze. He did this for political gain. So this goes way beyond, I didn't want to panic people. This is just political gain now, man. It didn't have to be this way. We still have people argue about masks, and we will get to that. It did not, even in April, he still had time to change course. You gave him till June or July. I remember when we were talking about, you're like, well, let's see where we are in June or July. You know, hopefully everybody will be on board, blah, blah, blah. And you say, and you know, we've covered stories, and we were like, why didn't he wear a mask? And you're like, I don't know, optics? And I would go, yeah, but isn't that his whole thing, optics? We had enough of these conversations. Dude,
But I still feel that it's one of those things where it's one thing after another. And you're talking about Bob Woodward, one of the people that broke the Watergate case, okay? It seems to me that it's just convenient enough where it's another gotcha thing where they try to release it now.
It's not gotcha. It's not, Joe, it's not gotcha if you call up.
Absolutely.
It's not gotcha if you call up. No, but no. Bob Woodward did not ask, hey, did anybody sneeze in the office? Funny you mentioned that, Bob. Donald Trump offered that story.
Absolutely it is, due to the timing that this was released.
Joe, this is not a gotcha thing. Right now, if somebody's listening to this show, I did not get you to do...
If it wasn't a gotcha thing, why did... You know, we discussed it, but if it wasn't such a gotcha thing, it would have been released earlier. And it's another attempt to him to sell a book where if he sells it close enough to the election, he'll sell more books.
Woodward's motives, and I'm not saying they're pure, Woodward's motives are irrelevant to this. I'm not saying Woodward's right. I'm willing to even entertain what you're saying, by the way, that he should have come out with this. But that still has nothing to do with what Donald Trump knew and what he was telling the American public. Bob Woodward...
Well, it depends how you're looking at it. I mean, listen to me. I mean, we could go on all night with this, okay?
Well, I want to play the next clip.
We heard your points, you heard my points, you heard Pip's points. To me, I feel that Trump was saying what he was saying because basically the perception of the uncertain leads to panic. And I think basically with the information that they had with plus what they were hearing from the medical profession was kind of inconclusive.
No, not by April. By April, they were already doing the press conferences. By April, you already had Fauci and Burks and Pence and even Trump. They were all up there. By April, everybody was on board. The scientists were on board. You have to wear a mask. And Trump was going against it. And we were talking about that. We were like, why would he go there without a mask? He should wear the mask. You agreed he should wear the mask. By April, we were all on board with that. It's not February anymore. It's April now. So let's move to August. This is August. So now, you know, Trump is in full election mode. You know, the book is going to be coming out. Woodward talks about the book. So I'll play that.
It's a tough book, sir. And you have your say, and there's going to be a lot of controversy about it, I expect. The whole business with the COVID and dealing with that is laid out, and so it's close to the bone, and you helped me get there, and I appreciate that.
All right. Well, we've done better than most countries with COVID. You're starting to see that.
I mean, there are parts of the book you're not going to like, and...
What won't I like, Bob?
Well, just, you know, there is... it's tough times. The virus, as you repeatedly told me and as you've said publicly, it's derailed things. And it's a big reality in people's lives, as you know. So I will get it to you. And
you know, the market's coming back very strong. You do know that.
Yes, of course. And
Did you cover that in the book?
Yeah, sure. It's going to be... a contest between you and Biden. It's going to be a contest between both of you and the virus. The virus is set because it's in real people's lives. You know, all those tens of millions of people who don't have jobs, who don't have that income. Listen, I mean, you and I.
More could have been done. Nothing more could have been done.
Well,
I acted early.
This will be the history that we start the first draft of, and it will continue. And
so you think the virus totally supersedes the economy?
Oh, sure, but they're related, as you know.
A little bit.
I mean
more than a little bit, but the economy is doing. Look, we're close to a new stock market record.
Okay, now at this point, this is in August, there's about approximately 168,000 dead Americans due to COVID-19. That's what Bob Woodward's talking about. He's talking about the stock market. Now, first of all, I don't think people remember this. Donald Trump ran against the stock market. He ran against it because he would kill Hillary Clinton for all the Pip's trying to draw. He would kill Hillary Clinton for all the Goldman Sachs people that she surrounded herself by. Trump was running on the everyman. That was the populism thing that Donald Trump was running for. The everyman doesn't really care about the market. At this point in August, we are in the throes of a horrible recession. We're still there. And he's talking about the market. I mean, listen, the stock market's good. You know how the stock market goes up? A lot of people don't understand. A lot of the companies in the stock market go up when businesses shed jobs. Why do they go up when businesses shed jobs? Because these businesses figure out how to make whatever they're making with less people, and that makes more profit, which is great for stockholders. If you happen to have money in stocks, that's great. If you happen to be a working person, it's not so good. So that's the thing about the stock market. Listen, do we all want a good stock market? Absolutely. But in the face of 168,000 dead Americans, don't be talking about the stock market. Nobody gives a shit. You got people out of work. You got people who have worked their whole life online for the first time in their lives in food pantries. It's fucking heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah, I understand. But you also have people that lost their life savings. You have businesses that don't know if they're ever going to be reopened, and the percentage of that is 0.0005% of the population.
What's
almost 7 million people caught the virus. 7 million people.
Just because
that,
you don't...
It's a catastrophe, because it's not just... We have to stop talking about only the deaths.
Yes.
Because people suffered, and they continue to suffer, with long-reaching consequences from having contracted the virus. So just talking about the ones that died is really a misnomer. We can't only focus on that. As bad as those numbers are, going up to 200,000 now.
Focusing on that is 0.02%. of the population.
Donald Trump said 20 to 30,000 people died of the flu. That's a bad thing. He said that in February. We are now close to 200,000. We have 4 to 5% of the world's population. We have 25%. Is it of COVID deaths? Yeah, of COVID deaths.
And 200,000 is 0.06% of the population.
What do these percentages matter? We're talking about people's health and their lives.
When it's compared to the percentage of people unemployed, when it's compared to the percentage of people that are losing their life savings, when it's compared to the percentage of people that don't know what to do.
Yes. You know what, Joe? You're absolutely right. And we could be much further along if he would have said, listen, everybody, social distance, wear a mask. You're absolutely right. Other economies who have dealt with COVID-19 are not in the shitter the way we are. They have recovered a lot. They are living close to normal lives. If he would have handled this differently, you and I might be fucking working. That would be nice. Plenty of people would be working. We all want that. Pip might not work, but no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, still not working.
That ain't right.
No, I know. But Pip's 0.00001% of the population. But she's 1/3 of the show. But no,
ain't right. Let the record show in this segment of the debate that playing a beat against Shavin. That ain't right. Low blow. Yeah. Very cordial up to now, you prick.
I'm an asshole. I'm an asshole. Anyway, but what he's never understood, and what every other leader who has done well with this has understood, if you deal with the sickness, your economy will come back. He has never understood that. You're absolutely right, Joe, and it's what I was talking about. So many people are out of work. The way to get us back to work is if we all fucking do the right thing. It doesn't work if only half of us are doing the right thing and wearing masks. If Pip's wearing a mask and Davin and Joe aren't wearing masks, this shit don't work. We know in the countries that have done well with this, they wear masks, they social distance, and then they open shit up. They can go to ball games. They can go to restaurants. It's not exactly the way it was before because we don't have a treatment yet. We have more treatments, but we don't have foolproof treatments. We don't have a vaccine. But they're much further ahead as opposed to half the nation doesn't think this shit's real. That's what I'm saying.
But that kind of brings up the point. Where the United States is in more of a unique situation than a lot of other countries. A lot of other countries are smaller than us, and a lot of countries are more regimented than the United States. And we're regimented because of the freedoms that we have to make our own choices. We're also at the point now that basically it's the governors want to make choices on their states and their municipalities. Trump tried that with New York, and Cuomo threatened.
Trump didn't want to do a national mandate. No. Trump put it on the governors. We talked about that. You were in support of that strategy. It has not worked.
Yes.
It hasn't worked. I mean, fortunately, where we live, I mean, our infection rate's low. Now, Joe and I are on the same page that, you know what, Cuomo should allow outside comedy shows, because there's no science that says you can't have an outside comedy show. But other than that, I mean, I think we would all agree Cuomo's done a pretty good job. We got our asses kicked immediately. There was mistakes made initially, which if we had all the information, I'm sure they would have done differently. But since then, listen, my kid can actually go to school sometimes. I'm one of the lucky ones. My wife still has a job. I'm one of the lucky ones. Joe still has a job. He's one of the lucky ones. Pip, well, she's status quo.
Once again, local.
No.
But
that's true.
We've got through this heavy debate so nice.
But you know what? No, but all kidding aside, I'm sure it has adversely affected her job hunt, because there's so many people unemployed, and the first people they're going to bring back are the ones they furloughed. So,
yep.
Listen, it's all right. So anyway, now I want to get to the Henderson rally. So this is an interview with a local reporter right before the Henderson rally, and the president is going to talk about the Nevada governor, who's a Democrat, and like I said at the top of this piece, they can only have 50 people inside. That's the Nevada mandate. So this is Donald Trump talking to a reporter. Let me cue that up.
What do you think that would be? So there's a limit. Governor Sisolak has 50 people per event. Are you subject to that?
So here's what happened. We had many sites, and this governor, outside sites, and this governor, what he did is a disgrace. He's in charge of ballots. He made it impossible for these people to give us the sites. They were exterior sites. You know, last time we had 29,000 people, and we had people outside by the tens of thousands near Reno. But now, tonight, it was very interesting. I said, how are we doing? They canceled 6 different sites. Because the governor wouldn't let it happen. All exterior sites. So a friend of ours let us use this. Outside, you have 30,000 people. Do you see what's going on outside?
Yeah.
You have 30,000 people trying to get in. This is a much smaller thing.
Aren't you concerned about getting COVID, though, in an enclosed room?
No, I'm not concerned. I'm more concerned about how close you are.
Sorry about that.
Because you know why? I'm on a stage. It's very far away.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm not at all concerned.
Have you ever talked to Governor?
All right. Now, for me, the takeaway from that, which is very telling, again, it helps if you've seen the pictures. These people are packed in, inside. Most of them are not wearing masks. The reporter asked Donald Trump, are you worried about getting COVID? He's like, no, I'm on a stage far away. He knows. He knows what this is. We've established he knows what this is. Now, you can argue these people are making their own decision. Which is a valid argument. These people are making their own decision. My problem is that these people are then deciding for other people who they come in contact with who did not choose that. Because whether they get sick or not, they might get infected, and they might come in contact with people who decided not to go to the indoor Trump rally where they're all packed in, and they might pay the price. And Donald Trump is telling you, I know this is – we've heard him say, and today it came out today, he said – one of the clips, it wasn't said today, it was one of the Woodward tapes where he said to Woodward, this is the plague. If it gets hold of the wrong person, it can tear them up. Donald Trump knows what this is. I guarantee you, not everybody in that audience was a 23-year-old who had no pre-existing conditions, who's in tip-top shape. I guarantee you there were some diabetics in there. There were some fatty boomba laddies. There were some people with heart conditions. Diabetes, you name it. I guarantee you there were sick people. And they've interviewed these people. Interviewed them outside. I saw the interviews. They asked this one woman, why aren't you wearing a mask? She's outside. Because I want to show that I'm showing that I trust my president. He knows. This is a cult. This is a cult, man. He's leading you to your death. He knows what this is. Now listen, I'm not a cult following type. I can never wrap my head around it. I wouldn't even get a fucking boo-boo for Obama. I really liked Obama, but I don't want to get a boo-boo for Obama. Boo-boos for Obama, that would have been a good slogan. Why would I put myself in jeopardy for somebody who's not putting himself in jeopardy? If I'm the leader of a team and I'm saying, "All right guys, these are shark infested waters. You guys go in, I'm going to hold back." You're not gonna, if you're thinking straight, you're not gonna go in. You're gonna, fuck you. What are you, you fucking pussy? And you go first. You're not gonna do that. But these people, they don't believe everything they've heard. They don't believe the Woodward stuff. They don't believe that he knows. I mean, Joe, would you go to one of these rallies?
I would. I'd wear a mask.
But the problem with that, Joe, is the mask doesn't... You're protecting other people. That's what we've learned about the mask. So if you're the only one wearing a mask, you're doing the considerate right thing. These people are not protecting you. So even if you do everything right, and there's no way to social distance, you know, Trump's still drawing them in there. Good for Donald Trump, still packing them in. So these... You could still get sick. That's what the science says.
Unless you wear a gas mask.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. I mean... The thing that makes Trump popular are the rallies that he has. Basically, when you look at it, when I've discussed this, it's an overview. Okay, it's an overview. It's just my take on it. I'm not saying that I'm for it. I'm not saying it's a good idea. But basically, when you look at a Trump rally, it's there with people not wearing a mask, because basically they feel maybe the masks are intrusive. If you look at Joe Biden, he's always wearing a mask. There's not that many people there. He looks like he's in a defeatist position, where if you go to the Trump rally, yeah, the defeatist position where I'm wearing a mask and I'm caving into what's going on. Okay,
but wait a minute, why is it caving in? It's a pandemic. If there's a fire, I'm not going in without water. I'm not caving into. I'm going to run into that fire without water. I'm not going to cave into the fire. No, you're going to protect yourself.
I told you before. I am not siding with it. I'm just explaining my take.
Okay. All right. I apologize. I misunderstood. I thought that was your take. I apologize. Go on.
No. I prefaced that. I go, I'm just giving my overview on it. I'm not giving my opinion and my overview.
Okay.
My thoughts. So if you look at Biden, it looks like he's coming from a place of weakness. He's wearing a mask. It seems all doom and gloom. When you go to the Trump rally, he's not wearing a mask. He's talking about how great America is. People there are not wearing masks. So it's almost a defiance to a gloomy situation that in Trump's America, they could overcome that, where in Biden's America, they're going to succumb to it. That's an overview. With these rallies, Trump is taking a chance, because if people start getting sick at these rallies, from these rallies, he's as good as fuck.
But Joe, that's not true. And we know that's not true because we discussed on this show Tulsa. You know, probably Herman Cain caught it in Tulsa. We knew he wasn't wearing a mask in Tulsa. And he's dead. Like 10 Secret Service members got sick. Members of the staff. The Tulsa had an outbreak afterwards. We know what this is going to be. But these people are so converted. And I'm not saying you. I'm not including you in this, just so you know. These people are so converted, they're not going to believe it. He's leading them to their death. Or if not their death, their sickness, or somebody they love's death. He's leading, and I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. You're right. Logically, he should be fucked. He should be fucked if he did that. But he said long ago, and he's never been more right, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue, and it wouldn't matter. He's right. Donald Trump, if there's one thing Donald Trump knows, it's he knows his fucking cult of personality. He knows. Listen, man, I mean, good for him if that's your fucking thing. If that's your fucking thing. But the reason I'm playing all this is because if you're still undecided, you need to hear it in his own words. I mean, if you're logically speaking, hearing all that and knowing how he looks at himself, saying, no, I'm going to be good because I'm far away, I don't see how you could vote for. Now, maybe you don't want to vote for Joe Biden because you don't like Joe Biden or whatever thing you want to believe about Joe Biden. That's fine. All right, I'm not going to persuade you to vote for Joe Biden. That's not my job. I'm just saying, logically, I don't understand. Logically, using my brain. I don't understand how anybody could vote for this guy. That being said, I know he's going to get a whole shit ton of votes. He might win re-election. I understand that. But I just can't. I can't fucking respect it as an intelligent decision.
Because one of the reasons he's doing that is the pundits on both sides of the aisle have been saying that one of the main concerns, at least with the Trump voter, is his handling of the economy over the handling of the pandemic.
No, COVID-19 is the biggest concern. Biden's way ahead of that, way ahead on Trump on COVID-19. Trump is still ahead a little bit of Biden on the economy. So, of course, what Biden needs to do if he wants to close and surpass that is he needs to, the way I have, is tie COVID-19 to the economy. He needs to make that case to people. Whether he can successfully or not, I don't know. I'm not on the Biden campaign.
But that is essentially, it goes along with what I said. That's essentially the deal.
If every week we did this show and I said, here's what we're going to do, Joe. You're going to sit in a puddle of water in a lightning storm. And you're going to do the show from the puddle of water in the lightning storm. And I'm going to do it from the safety of my own home. And Pip's going to do it in the safety of the own home. But we really feel it would be best for the show, for me, for Pip, if you did it in a puddle of water in a lightning storm, I would hope you would tell me to go fuck myself. Because there's no reason.
No, but what I'm saying is, you detailed one thing and I detailed the other thing. And it's both essentially correct. Where I said, Trump's strength is on the economy. That's what he's playing on more than the COVID, which the pundits agree on.
But these people,
well, Biden's playing more. But hear me out. And you said Biden is like, well, Biden is playing more on the COVID situation and the handling of that. Where that's essentially the deal. That's essentially the deal. So you're not wrong. I'm not wrong. That's where these two guys are now.
So
what remains to be seen is how deep, you know, who's going to buy the message.
So is it that they're just, you know what? It's got to be that they're all getting their information from Breitbart and Fox News, where, you know, most of the popular shows, which are the opinion shows, are playing this down and saying it's no big deal, and they don't believe it, or they make the gotcha argument, or they turn to Bob Woodward again. It's a cult, man. That's where we are with this shit. Because even if I was going to vote for Trump, if I was a non-cult member, but I wanted to vote for Trump because of the economy, if that's what I believe, Trump was better for the economy, Trump is better to keep the Mexicans out, whatever. If there was all the other reasons, if I heard that, I would go, if I heard all that, I go, I can't. I can't, man. This guy knows this is...
Right. So basically, you have to break it down to this. Okay, you have to look, both guys, you know, what are you going to do? Okay? And let me tell you something, you know, JJ, we bury the hatchet, we get along, and JJ was saying this, and the other thing, I go, JJ, Biden, he's like, what are you going to do? So basically what you have to look at is pass the guy, or gentleman, pass the both of them, and look at policy. You have to look at policy.
Yeah, but Joe, I can't vote for a guy that values me so little. I can't vote for a guy that's not protecting me. Like I said, forget about all the policy. Even if I support it all everything.
You can't forget the policy.
I can. If you told me Joe Biden, if it was reversed, and you told me Joe Biden was endangering his people knowingly so, his fans knowingly so, while he was protecting his ass, I go, I can't vote for that guy. I might not vote for Trump, but I can't vote for Biden.
But on the other hand, if I have a policy, if I feel. That on Joe Biden's end, if I feel that I don't feel he is qualified to lead us to better the economy, I don't think he is pro-business, and basically I think that Kamala Harris and her left policies might infiltrate his thoughts or will take over, and I feel that that's more of a far danger than, you know, Trump's policies. I feel that Trump would be the better guy.
That's
the consensus. You're voting on policy. If you don't like the guy, you have to make the decision to vote on policy.
I can't vote for the guy, and then I want to talk about some other things with this, but I'm telling you, I can't vote for the guy that's knowingly endangering The people that think he loves them. You hear Trump, we finally have a president that cares about us. So many Trump supporters have said that. Finally, he's fighting for me. No, he's never fought for anybody. You look at this man's history, he always fucks you. You know what you can always bet on? If you go in with Donald Trump, you're going to get fucked. And if you believe what Donald Trump says, he's going to make you look stupid. How many times has Donald Trump said something absurd? And, you know, usually Joe doesn't defend it. Once in a while, Joe defends it. And then it comes out like a week later. No, he was thinking that. And he looked like an asshole. Perfect. In this case, how many people, Joe, that we know, no, it's the flu. Joe was not one of them, as I said time and again. He said in February, no, this is not the flu. How many times does he have to make you look so fucking stupid? I get what you're saying about policy. I get it. But all I'm saying is, policy aside, I can't vote for somebody that knowingly is putting Americans in harm's way. I can't. Forget about all the other shit he does.
Can I add one thing?
No.
She don't listen.
I mean, to Joe's point about, and it's been on Fox and other conservative stations that the Woodward book, I mean, I'm pissed off that he held on to the information, but, you know, people saying, oh, the Woodward book is going to be a gotcha. The same people were not freaking out when, in the 2016 election, Comey decided at the last minute, you know what, I think we're going to bring up Hillary's emails one more time right before the election. In both cases, you know, if you think that somebody's done wrong, you have to look into it. Right now, from the horse's mouth, we know that Trump did wrong. We know that he led people the wrong way to their deaths.
Right.
So that it's a gotcha? Too fucking bad. That's how politics is played. But when you're going to do things like withhold information that would save Americans' lives, fuck you.
Well, you know, you had Cuomo that sent the elderly to the nursing home.
All right, I don't want to get into Cuomo. We talked about there was mistakes made. I don't want to get.
You can put a bond there. I mean, you know, mistakes were made, but what you know, but basically, and Pip is absolutely right that the whole Comey thing was a gotcha moment. But basically, the thing about it is you know, looking at both candidates, there's a lot to be desired with both of it. So you need to look as a voter. The policy.
All right, here's my question. Here's my question. So this is against state law, this rally, and I was thinking about this, and he's going up with against other states. Now, traditionally, Republicans have been very states' rights, and it's been liberals that have wanted a bigger government and everything. But I was wondering what would happen. Forget about what Trump should be doing by following the law and the law and order thing. Well, I wonder, like, is it even feasible where if you show up to the rally, there's state troopers there. There's the local police where they don't let that rally happen. Should that happen? Because they're enforcing the law. I mean, it's kind of interesting. I kind of feel like maybe it should.
Then the point would be, well, you want to know something? If we wanted to have a BLM rally, and we did the same thing where people are out gathering, and we did that, oh my God, what would happen? Kind of what they were, and I am not advocating my comments, but basically that was the rallying point that the Trump campaign had on having this rally.
Well. Yeah. All right. Well, two things on that, and we've discussed it before. And I'm not saying that all these protests are right. I'm not saying that. But we have seen, first of all, most of the people protesting are wearing masks. Where they can, they do socially distant, although not always. Also, a lot of the protest people just show up, whereas the rally, you actually have to enter a place. You know, there are things. If I say in this enclosed place you have to wear a mask, there's no two ways about it. It's hard to enforce a fucking rally. It's hard to enforce a rally, and one guy's the president of the fucking United States. So again, to my point, should this? What would happen if a governor said no? And we've seen Republican governors that don't want it. Also, by the way,
well, the governor did say no.
But what I'm saying is
that's fine.
What I'm saying is, what happens if you enforce it? What happens? You go, nobody's getting in here unless it's social distance. You want to fit 5,000? No, you're not doing 5,000. You can have your 50 or whatever that square footage should be spaced out. We could do. What happens if the local authorities show up? I mean, that is law and order.
That's a very interesting question. I wonder too.
That's why I asked.
I think that would be like stop it before it happens rather than enforce it after
the fact. Also, to add to the discussion, why don't you the governor was damned adamant about not having that rally, turned down the locations at the airport. Why wouldn't you think he wouldn't have put a mandate? You would figure maybe he would have put a mandate out to do just that. And I wonder why, if he entertained it, why he did not do it.
I think the mayhem it would fucking cause in this country, I think you'd be that much closer to a civil war. That's honestly what I think. I mean, we've never seen – listen, the president's breaking the laws with this. There's no reason to do it. He could have had his outside rallies and had people socially distanced. He didn't do that. We've talked about before how he could do this. But we've heard from his own mouth. He doesn't care. I had something I want to ask. So here's the thing. Here's what I think. Here's how I think you really end all this stuff. And it's hard. But if you made Donald Trump personally liable, if you made the Republican Party liable for somebody's death through this. Now, again, you would need the contact tracing. And this is where it gets hard. You would have to prove that the person who died or got sick or whatever got it because they were either at the rally or somebody they came in contact with at the rally. But I think if you could sue them liable, you know, say I lose my uncle because they went to the Trump rally and I'm suing Donald Trump or the GOP, I think you would stop a lot of this stuff.
Let me ask you another hypothetical question. Once again, I mean, the governor doesn't live in a bubble. And once again, the governor does not like Trump, and the governor was not happy, turned down 3 airports. So wouldn't you think he would make a – wouldn't, again, you would think he would make a statement like that where you could have the rally, but we're going to hold you personally liable?
I don't think he legally can because I don't know if they can prove it. He's finding the business.
Right. So that's like I said. You know, on paper it looks good, but if you actually went out and did that
– it's hard.
You know,
listen, man.
Your remedy on that?
I heard an interview with the mayor. I'm not going to play it now. I was going to play it. But one of the things he said was, you know, I don't think Donald Trump is going to – go against their own his own guidelines. And I thought, what a fucking moron you are. Talk about a rube. I don't think the Democrats understand. A lot of the Democrats understand what they're dealing with, much to their own peril. This governor clearly did not understand what Donald Trump will do. He does not understand. I feel like some of them still think it's like 2016, and if we all play nice, this is going to work out well. This is a whole different fucking ballgame. And the reason, what gives me hope for the Democrats is the reason whether, if you look at the Lincoln Project, what do you have? You have all the motherfuckers who took down like every good, more qualified Democratic candidate because they're so fucking creative and evil and geniuses in their own right. They're working against Trump. That's the only prayer the Democrats have, by the way. I have no illusions that the
What's the Lincoln? I'm sorry, I'm ignorant on this. What's the Lincoln Project?
The Lincoln Project is former Republicans, including Kellyanne Conway's husband. It's mostly never Trumpers. But what these people have done, besides being never Trumpers.
Hold on, I'm sorry. Kellyanne Conway's husband hates Trump more than you do.
Right, no, that's what I'm saying. So he's one of the founding members of this. So, but what these people have always done, you know, here's how good they are. They made John Kerry, who was the war hero, against George W. Bush, who was the coward. They made Kerry into the pussy and W. into the hero. That's how fucking brilliant these people are. That's how gifted they are. So now they're working against Trump. That's the only thing that gives me hope. I know the Democrats don't know how to fucking play ball. I have no illusions. And I know Joe Biden is not the skilled politician that Barack Obama was. Is or Bill Clinton was in his heyday. I know Donald, when it comes to politics, Donald Trump is playing up here and Joe Biden's playing here. I fully understand that. I know who can play the political game. I'm just saying it's nice to have some of the bad guys working for us for a change. That's all I'm saying. That's the only thing that gets me fucking up. Now listen, if Biden wins, they're going right back to the other side. Which is fine. I it's like wrestling. Somebody makes a heel turn for one storyline and then they go back. That's fine. I'm cool with it.
But yeah, no, it's just interesting. I don't think the Democrats, the governors, wring their hands like, oh my, he's not really going to do this. He's coming here, and then what happens is these people who go to the rallies, they go back into their communities, and they spread the sickness. Man, it's not a political thing; it's a virus, and that's the frustrating thing. I mean, listen, Donald Trump did have some outside rallies, which is great, but he had them packed in. Don't pack them in.
Yeah.
This is all for his ego. This is all, Joe, this is like us going, you know what, we really need to perform in front of an audience. Yeah, I know we got the COVID-19, but let's pack them in closely, because we really need to feel live laughter close to us, because that's what we miss. That's what we're jonesing for. That's what this is, man. Listen, man, we know he loves to do the rallies, but lead. Fucking lead. You know what? Long after you retire, long after COVID-19 is gone, I guarantee you Donald Trump can still fucking hold a rally, and he'll still get several thousand people. Long after he's president of the United States, Donald Trump will still draw a crowd. I have no doubt in my mind. He just doesn't care. That's why I'm angry and emotional, Joe. He just doesn't fucking care. You know, and for months...
Long after I retire and stuff like that, I'm worried about a candidate who will be manipulated by the far left, who will ruin the country with the Green New Deal. You know, I worry about stuff like that.
Country's ruined, my friend.
It's a policy thing to me.
The country is ruined. There's no deals if we don't get through this COVID-19. All bets are off. You know, it's like if we were living in Oregon or California and we're living in a house surrounded by fire. You and I could discuss policy and what we would like for 2021 and 2022. But if we don't get out of the fucking burning house, there's no 2021 and 2022. COVID-19 is in the fire. There's nothing else until we beat this. That's just the reality, man. And it's not a political thing. I know some of the Trumpsters, not you, believe this was the, the election infection. I mean, it's just, I can't. And that's why I say I don't talk to the stupid anymore. I just, you know, oh, yeah, it just happens to come this way. Yes, because it's a fucking virus. That's what it is. The virus is not pro-Trump or anti-Trump. The virus doesn't care. I'm sure the virus would love to spend time in Mar-a-Lago. But...
You see the virus in a lawn chair having a drink.
Sure! I'm glad we finally made it. This is very lovely.
It's pointy things. It's the COVID virus.
Why isn't anybody here? Is it us? Nah, it couldn't be us. We're the virus. Everybody loves us. Crowd around!
When you see a picture of the virus, it's this glob with the little red things coming out of it. Those are little cocktail umbrellas.
Yes.
Now, how do you feel about Trump brokering the deal with Israel and?
Honestly, I don't know much about it. I mean, the left says it's a distraction. They were already talking this, that, the other thing. I mean, on the surface, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. On the surface, it's a feather in his cap. It's an accomplishment. I'm happy for him. You know, if it's as promised, and things are going to get better in the Middle East, it's good. It's good, and the timing's very good for him too. But I mean, you know, I mean, it pales in comparison. Yeah, sure. Listen,
yeah.
Listen, and it's not as important to me as COVID-19. But no, I'm happy about it. If it brings peace there, it means we don't have to be there as much, and Israel has more security. What's bad about it? I support it. It's like, were you expecting me to like say something bad about it?
Yeah, kind
of. Why?
You ruined the end of the segment.
Joe, I mean, you should know by now. I call it like I see. You know, if he does something good, I'm happy. You know, like I said, I haven't really looked into it. I don't know what Israel's getting out of it. I don't know what they're getting out of it. But on the surface, if everybody plays nice and it sticks and it brings more peace in the region, it's a fucking great thing. It's a major accomplishment for Donald Trump. It is his crowning achievement as president, because trust me, this presidency, I know you don't feel this way, this presidency will not be looked at well, but this will be the diamond in the mound of shit, because if this is true, and if this holds, it's a fucking great accomplishment. I don't know how much Donald Trump was personally involved, but it's during his administration, he's the president, he gets credit, good for him. I hope it's great, I hope it's fucking great, and I hope there's more. He said there's going to be more. Fantastic. Very happy for him, very happy for the world. What? What?
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
good.
No. Listen, I told you when this guy got elected, I want to like him. I gave him a chance when he got elected, but then it became pretty evident it wasn't going to happen. I wanted him to do a lot of the things he said. I didn't think he would.
No, I understand.
But yeah, no, it's good.
You're right.
It's good. I hope it Now, I don't know why the fuck they weren't wearing masks. That's a whole thing, especially since Israel's going into lockdown again. But whatever.
Yeah.
As far as a peace deal, as far as a peace deal in the Middle East, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
And you know what?
If Donald Trump got a better Iran deal when they stopped making nuclear weapons, right now it's worse because there is no deal. But if Donald Trump negotiated with them and they stopped the nuclear weapons and it was better for us, fuck yeah. I'm Team America. I'm not Donald Trump or Joe Biden or Blue. I don't give a shit. I want good things for America. That's all. Good.
Right, right. Well, the whole thing with that deal was trying to squeeze, trying to get allies away from Iran and just trying to squeeze them into a corner. It's one of the cornerstones of the deal that they're working on with this accord. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see. But yeah, the Middle East peace always a good thing. Always a good thing. COVID-19 yeah. Always a bad thing.
All right. Tarzan.
So all right.
Peace good. COVID bad.
So we got to make some decisions here. Unless you want to try to cover all three stories, we can. I mean. You want to try to cover all three stories? Try to race through them?
No. Because then we're going to not do justice to all of them, and we'll go way long.
So, all right, you want to do the Sheriff No Mask story? You want to do Halloween, or you want to do boobs?
Let's not do the mask story, because we just, we've done, Jesus Christ, we've done about 40 minutes of mask stuff, so let's get rid of that. We'll skip that.
All right.
Yeah, agreed.
Boobs.
All right, we'll start
boobs.
We'll start with boobs.
We heard you.
What is this? What am I looking at here?
So all nice, right. I had to say it twice.
So this is from August 20th. Several women sunbathing on a beach in Sainte-Marie-le-Mer, a popular spot in southern France, were approached by two police officers who allegedly asked them to get dressed. A bystander on the beach, Marie Hebrard, told France 3 that she witnessed the police officers, a man and a woman, talking to various women on the beach. One woman, who looked it to be in her 60s, seemed confused. Well, she's in her 60s. About the conversation, according to Hebrard. And immediately, a man is approaching me and I'm topless in my 60s? I am confused! And immediately dug into her purse.
The girl was probably tripped over them.
Oh, Joe. She was laying down. They might have gotten stepped on, but nobody tripped.
That's 80s.
Yes. Immediately dug into her purse and pulled out a top. A lot of women in Sainte-Marie-le-Mer sunbathe topless, which is completely legal in many beaches in France. Her bride was furious. I was so shocked at what was happening in front of my eyes. I went to see the officers and I asked them if for them topless tanning was a violation of modesty. They asked me to move around and left the beach just after my intervention. According to an update posted on August 25th, the police were trying to mediate a situation and admitted it was executed awkwardly. A family with young kids who had allegedly been shocked to see topless women lying on the beach complained to police and asked them to intervene. The officer said they explained to the women that it was for the benefit of the children. The children! Not because they were in any legal trouble. The children! The town hall in Sainte-Marie-le-Mer responded to the news story saying the city council and its mayor believe that the fact for a woman to tan with bare breasts is in no way constituting any attack on modesty or good morals. I mean, listen, it takes a lot of balls. No boobs. Sure. It takes a lot of balls to bring your kids to a topless beach. It's your fuck up, apparently. And to make it everybody else's problem. It takes
Yeah, I know. Look, if these women were lying in the ball pool at McDonald's, all right, you gotta scram, ladies. But,
hold on.
I just got a visual of that.
Hold on. Let's talk about that for a while. I'll tell you that. There'd be a lot more adults in the ball pit at McDonald's.
I'm jumping in.
Sure.
but basically, it's a topless beach, okay? And those laws are based on a community standard. That community standard was approved for that beach to be topless. For these parents to be stupid enough to bring your children to a topless beach, have these women covered up, it's the parents' opinion over a community standard. The police should have told them that. Basically, this is a topless beach. The community standard says that this is fine. I'm sorry if your children are affected, but you if you don't like it, you're going to have to go to another beach.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what. But go on. I'm sorry.
No, sorry, I didn't mean to step over you, the hazard of Zoom. I just, It's like bringing your kids to a bar and then yelling at people for using foul language. Do you know what bars are? You're
exactly.
Stupid.
It's, you know what, Dav? It's almost like when you're doing a comedy show and people bring their kid. And,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, great, we got a 7-year-old kid. What the hell is a 7-year-old kid doing at a comedy? And then they go, oh, well, there's a kid here. Well, what the hell? I'll tell you a story. I've told it before, but when I was doing that improv group in Queens, we get done with the show, and the person running the improv group comes up to me and goes, we have a problem. There was a couple here with their child, and they didn't like the language that was used. And I'm like, where are they? And she's like, what do you mean? I go, where are they? I want to talk to them. Why do you want to talk to them? I go, what? I go, they're worried about language. What the hell is a kid doing in a nightclub at 11:30 at night? I go, and where's the fucking problem? Bullshit. So, it's the same instance here with the beach.
Well, the problem here was the police. The police should have had the conversation. Well, you mentioned they should have said, lady, it's not their problem. We understand. We can't. They're in the right. They're in the right. So then the question is, would you bring your kids to a topless beach? And we're such a Puritan culture, like I can't imagine doing that in the United States, but I could see that being perfectly acceptable in parts of Europe.
Yes, sure. And it is. It is accepted in parts. They have a lot more, they're a lot more comfortable with nudity than we are here.
Even ugly people with nudity, which I don't feel, I feel they're making a mistake there. You know, I mean, listen.
No, you know what? In Europe, they're not afraid of boobs. And the thing is, I'm sorry, but they're meant to feed children. It doesn't mean that the children immediately become afraid of them a couple of years later.
Really? Yeah. I thought they were meant to motorboat. I was unaware.
Both. Well, motorboat, you're at the beach already. The water's right there. It's all good.
You know what should have happened is the parents should have sent the kids over to motorboat the bare ladies. That's what should have happened. Because then those women would have put on their tops. And then you don't have to get the police involved.
I remember, now you have a whole other charge.
Oh, don't worry about Jimmy. He's 18. He doesn't know what he's doing.
I remember on my honeymoon, we were in Antigua. And there was this woman that was, these two women that were sunbathing topless. And I kept on swimming and getting out on that side. And Joanne is like, why are you going over in that direction? I go, it's a riptide. Fucking thing just drags me right.
Wow. Wow. On your honeymoon, you couldn't even keep your shit together.
Yeah.
Well, there was a sign of things to come now, wasn't it? On your damn honeymoon.
Yeah. Yeah, really, a sign of things to come.
We even got in a big argument on our honeymoon. It was doomed from the beginning.
Oh, God.
Surprising. With you two kids, how is that possible? All right.
See, this is the thing that is really irritating. The tendency that people have to make somebody walk on eggshells because of the asshole that is so intolerant. You know, like, what are you doing putting yourself into a situation where X, Y, and Z are okay and then complaining about it, and anybody pays you any mind whatsoever? This is stupid. You have to have a little common sense, people. You can't be dragging your kids into places where it's supposed to be adults and adult things are going to happen.
Well, I mean, I don't think, afraid of boobs. I don't think these parents knew.
It's like when you go into a restaurant and you can't enjoy your meal because there's a bunch of screaming kids, and they don't discipline their children. And
right.
People feel that they adore their children, which is fine, but they also feel everybody else has to be fucking enamored with them, you know.
Right.
And that's where you get pissed off. It's like, look, you know, kids cry and stuff like that. But if you've got kids that want to cry and stuff like that, take them to McDonald's. Don't take them to a restaurant where you're ruining everybody else's meal.
I want to go to McDonald's now that I know there's naked ladies in the ball pit.
Right down the road.
I want to sit there with my popcorn and watch the action, too. That's going to be, like, lots of fun interactions going on in the ball pit.
You need to sit there with your boobs out. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, all right.
All right. So, shall we take our final break?
Yeah.
All right. So on the break, we have new music from DJ Nicholas, DJ Combo, and Sander 7 with Barcelona. And we also have new music from B Infinite. We played a lot of his stuff with You Can't Live Without Me. And you can learn more about both those artists on khb-music.de. It's a short break. We'll come back